All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jerry's World Sports Podcast. It's me, your host, Jerry. GFOP Nick is once again with me. How are you doing today, good sir?
Well, Jerry, I could be better. How about you?
I could be better as well. I'm pretty sure we're both feeling down in the dumps after that lackluster Sabres performance on opening night. And with that, we'll just get right into it, honestly. I mean, Sabres opening night, the vibes were great to start off the day. I mean, like, the goal songs came out. Everybody found out Jeff Skinner was going to have High School Musical as his goal song. J.J. Paterka with his European Soccer, na 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 na. They had that wonderful tribute pregame to RJ, the ceremonial face-off with his wife and the rest of his family, and it just went downhill after that. I'll let you take it from here. Just your thoughts on everything.
I mean, I agree. The vibes were very high coming into this one. The goal songs came out. There were some bangers in there, naturally. They had this awesome pump-up video they tweeted out yesterday. They played it before the coverage started today. And I was into it, man. I put my jersey on today. I put my Sabres bucket hat on. I had a couple Rocky Mountain Kool-Aid. Might as well crack open another one. I mean, and then the puck dropped, and that's where things went south. I mean, the RJ tribute, I want to forget that as well. I worked downtown today in the office, and I wanted to go to the party in the plaza today before I left to come home from work. Obviously, I didn't have tickets to the game, but I was interested in checking it out. I ended up not doing that because I had other things going on, but just so much hope going into that one, and it sunk right out of us right away, down 2-0 after the first period. I mean, I think it's final now. Sabres drop game 1, 5-1. Not a great start. Let's just put it that way.
Not a great start to the season. I mean, this has been probably the most hyped up season in terms of the Sabres in well over a decade, honestly. I mean,
I think since Eichel.
I mean, in terms of playoffs, I mean, well over a decade. But you're probably right about since Eichel there, because, well, we thought he was the savior. We don't need to go into that.
Yeah,
I digress there. But, I mean, everything we heard about how the team was looking in camp in terms of practice, you know, leading up to it. And then puck drop, like you said, they came out flat. They looked like they just did. They looked like that they were not prepared physically and mentally for game 1. And that's honestly disappointing. I mean, it's only game 1, like, long season ahead for sure, but, like, you want to get out the gate fast. And that's what we talked about earlier on in the podcast, in previous podcasts. I mean, you can't come out flat. They did. Honestly, just not ideal at all. The offense wasn't there. Nothing was there. Offense wasn't there. Defense wasn't there. I mean, Levi didn't look that great either. I mean, nothing just stuck. And I'm perplexed, honestly. I am perplexed, to say the least. I mean, anything else that you want to chime in about?
Yeah, I mean, you said it's important for us to get off to a good start. I think that was, you hit the nail on the head there. But, I mean, we can still get off to a good start despite this performance. I think Rob Ray mentioned it later in the game, I think after we gave up the shorthanded goal maybe, that, you know, this team has only really played one full game together, and that was one preseason game. So they got to get all on the same page, and it showed. I mean, there was a lot of, like, drop passes or, like, here, you take it, I got it type of thing, like, I don't know. It's just they didn't seem on the same page the whole time. I thought Jordan Greenway looked really good out there.
He was our best player on the ice tonight.
Yeah, he was getting involved in all areas tonight. I thought Peyton Krebs had a pretty solid night offensively, but I think he was a minus two in the end, or he was out there for at least one or two goals. And I don't know. I just feel like we didn't see anything out of like the top lines whatsoever. And I think that kind of is because of the Rangers defense. I saw a couple things on Twitter that their forecheck is like a 1-3-1 type of system. And it showed like we could not get the puck into the Rangers zone, like with control, and get any like offensive opportunities whatsoever. And it's not going to be like that every night. Unfortunately, we have the Islanders next on Saturday, and I think it will be kind of similar to this one. Hopefully the Sabres will have a better showing regardless. I mean, you can't take anything away from the Rangers. That's a Stanley Cup contender right there. So you'd like a better showing, but, you know, we move on to the next one.
You're absolutely right. You move on to the next one. Hopefully we can have a better showing against the Islanders. That would always be nice there. Be good to bounce back. And another thing, too, is, like, yeah, you're right. It was a 1-3-1. It was a 1-3-1 there. And a lot of people were, like, criticizing LaViolette about that, because he chastised that 1-3-1 system when he was coaching in Philly. And then he comes around years late, and then he comes around and does it well at the Rangers. So a lot of people, not just, like, Sabres Twitter, but, like, hockey Twitter, was having a laugh at that as a whole there. And not just with the 1-3-1, though. I mean, like, they were blocking a lot of shots. Like,
yeah.
The Sabres, like, in the third period, like, were finally getting shots, like, shots off, but they weren't getting to the net. The Rangers were just blocking shot after shot after shot. And, you know, they were paying the price for that. But, I mean, I'm not saying this is, like, I'm not blaming the Sabres, like, whatsoever for losing. Like, the Rangers played a good game. They played a well-coached game. I mean, LaViolette did what he needed to do with the 1-3-1. The Rangers were blocking shots left and right. The Sabres had a couple power plays that they didn't capitalize on either, pertaining to the block shots, though. But still, there were a couple chances, like, where Tage had some shot chances on the left side, and he shot wide of the net. So, I mean, it happens, but still, though, I mean, I don't know. The only reason why I'm disappointed, I guess, is because I don't want this loss to turn into a stinker. Because if it turns into a stinker, then, like, you know, not to be like a Debbie Downer, but, like, the season could be over before it even started.
Yeah. We can't have that. I mean, honestly, I took a look at the schedule coming into this. And like you said, we got to start hot. And, we got the Islanders twice coming up. We got the Lightning, Calgary, Montreal, Ottawa, New Jersey, and Colorado to end out the month. And without getting into specifics, I think I said, like, in my head, like, you know, if we're going to be as good as we say we are, we got to get off to a good start. You know, we can really only afford three losses here. I mean, I think we got to beat Calgary. We got to beat ESPN. I'm looking at the Lightning game, and it says it's on ESPN. We got to beat the Lightning in their current state. I mean, split with the Islanders, you know, hopefully beat Ottawa. I mean, come out with three or four losses, and, you know, we'll call it a day. But it's important to, you know, stack up some wins here early.
Stack up some wins and stack up some points for sure. I mean, even with three or four losses, I mean, I would love for a couple of those games to go to overtime. At least go to overtime just to get, like, that extra point, which would be nice there. Hopefully looking at the end of the month there, I mean, that game against Colorado, I mean, like, we really don't want to have, like, we really don't want to only have, like, two wins compared to... We don't really want to have only 2 to 3 wins going into that game in the season. Because if you have 3 wins, like, only 3 wins going to the end of the month, you're already going into November, you know, could just eventually just spiral, go into a bad downward spiral there. But, I mean, you know, one game at a time. It's only game one. I mean,
the road to 81-1 starts Saturday.
I hope so. The road to the playoffs officially will start on Saturday. I'm trying to remember when the last time they lost their opener, home opener, I should say, was. Did they They won it last season, right? Yeah, they won it last season, right?
I believe so. I feel like they started hot. Maybe not even hot, but they've gotten off to a pretty good start the last couple of years. So this is a weird feeling.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
This is a weird feeling. I mean, the only home opener I remember them, I think, I'm pretty sure they lost, like, recently, was the COVID season. Like, the interdivision COVID season, I should say. Like, that. I feel like that team was just so bad, though. Because, like, I went to the home opener back in 2019, and, like, they won that one. They handily won that one. I remember that game with my dad. I'm pretty sure they won that game, like, 6-2. But yeah,
I think they lost to Montreal one year, to start the year. That was like 20, no, it couldn't be last year. Maybe 21.
Maybe 21. I'm not positive, but no, yeah, they did lose to Montreal in 21. Actually, I remember that now, cause I'm pretty sure, I think Montreal actually came back and won that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, it is a weird feeling.
Also, I think after that, they won, like, 2 or 3 in a row. So, like, even though they lost the first one, I think they started, like, at least 3-1, if I do recall correctly. So hopefully we can, you know, do that again this year.
That would be nice. I mean, you know, the thing is, though, is, like, I don't want us to be, like, Sabres Twitter, just, like, you know, saying put the nail in the coffin yet. Although I will say, like, I will say this, I'm just trying to figure out what Yoki Haru was doing, like, on that first goal there. That was pitiful. Like, I will kind of jokingly say the Rangers style of play may have been boring him to death, but, like, you gotta know, like, that man's there, honestly. Like, you gotta know that man is there.
Yeah, but, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, Levi, I mean, he gave up a ton of rebounds, and he gave up a rebound on that one.
He did give up a rebound on that one, so I'm not discrediting Levi. I'm not saying it's not Levi's, like, I'm not faulting Yoki Haru alone is what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, like, all right, he looked lost, but Levi should have done better.
I agree.
That was just a bad sequence there.
Agreed.
Also, can we put Tyson Jost in to replace Olofsson, please? I don't want to look at Victor Olofsson anymore.
Now, you say you don't want to be like Sabres Twitter, but you're acting like a certain someone we know from a certain Sabres Twitter account.
Oh, God, don't compare me to that. Fuck, please don't. No, honestly, that's just my hatred. That's just me, like, wondering, like, why Olofsson is still here type of thing. Like, I just don't want him on the ice in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see what happens. Maybe Joseph will get in for Olofsson on Saturday, but I don't think that's really going to move the needle too much.
No, hopefully, probably not.
I think it's evident, like, in the third period when we were down, like, I thought, like, you know, okay, sure, we can put Joseph in for Olofsson, maybe move Krebs up to the second line where Olofsson is, but I think they're missing some scoring without Quinn. You know, there's rumors Patrick Kane's coming. Benson was he was heavily involved, but he didn't have any, like, major chances. He had a couple shots, I know, but they need some scoring, and, like, the top line was totally absent today, I thought. So, you know, maybe it will change because the top line will obviously get theirs, but tonight they had no offense against that defense.
The chemistry just wasn't there, like, tonight. I mean, game one, hopefully they bounce back. And not just with the top line, but, like, with all the lines. I think they just got to get – I think they just got to get the chemistry going. And then, like, once they get the blood and juices flowing, like, along the lines and everything, then they'll be fine. I just will say, like, I hope Donnie doesn't, like, rotate a lot of players in and out of their lines a lot just to figure out, like, what the best point – just best case in point is, because – Line chemistry is everything in terms of how they are on the ice. So I really don't necessarily, like, want to see, like, second, more so the middle lines, like, you know, going back and forth with position changes. But we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, like, they'll have practice tomorrow before the game on Saturday. So we'll see what they do with their lines then. And then, of course, like, game on Saturday, we'll just go from there. I mean, hey, you know, it's game one. Yeah, I'm sad that they lost. I mean, vibes were here at an all-time high. Now they're low.
Yeah, I hear you. Before we move off of the Sabres talk, I think we're kind of winding up our initial thoughts on the start of the season. I just want to point out, I made a parlay tonight. JJ Paterka would score. That hit. but I had the Sabres money line. That did not hit. But I told Jerry earlier I have a suggestion for a bet to place for the Sabres on the season. And Jerry, would you like to hear that?
Yeah, you know what? You told me that earlier today, and you've been enticing me. So you enticed me with that. So like, lay it out there. Let me hear it.
So it's non-monetary. So right up Jerry's alley.
Okay, how illegal is it though?
No. So if the Sabres miss the playoffs, the Jerry's World Sports Podcast as a team will run a 5K together. If the Sabres miss the playoffs, we will enter a 5K and we will run it start to finish, no matter what.
My God.
That'll be our punishment.
You're going to enforce. Something tells me you're going to enforce this more so than you've been enforcing punishments as a fantasy football commissioner.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, we got to hold ourselves accountable.
All right. Well, we got to put Brad. We got to put Brad in this with us then.
All right. We can do that. But yeah, I think the Sabres got to make the playoffs. Otherwise, we're running a 5K because that's the only way that we can hold ourselves accountable here and preach the truth about this team.
At least it's a normal 5K, not a beer 5K. If it was a beer 5K, I'd say fuck that. All right, you know what? I'm in. Fine. Why not?
And you have to be 30 minutes, otherwise you got to do it again.
That's probably not going to happen.
All right, we'll see about that.
But, I mean, if it's an actual 5K that we're registering for, then like, there's no way I'm doing that again. No way.
Well, you'll have to register for another one if you didn't beat the time.
We can do that 5K thing. We can do that. Not the second one though. I'm not trying to turn into one of those psycho runners that does the turkey trot on Thanksgiving. Okay. Yeah.
Running is a personality trait.
Yeah, running is. No, I don't. I'm not trying to turn into one of those people. When I would go on walks, like over the summer, I would see like those groups of runners. Not to get off topic totally, but like, and they'd just run like, you know, elbows wide and everything, and they'd be like in their formation, like a triangle or diamond formation, and they would like go around me, because like, oh, I'm in their way, God forbid, you know. But I would always chuckle just because it's like, ha, look at you thinking that's your whole life, ha. But moving on from one team in Buffalo to another team in Buffalo. Thoughts on the Bills after week 5 going ahead into week 6, good sir. The Bills,
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, they lost in London to the Jags. Lots of excuses came after that game. Now they got week 6 coming up. First, I want your thoughts on week 5, and then like we can go into week 6.
Oh, man, I was just getting over one bad Buffalo sports team loss. Now I got to remember for this one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I predicted it on the podcast last week that, you know, we were kind of due for a letdown spot. I could kind of see it coming, but yeah, I mean, tough loss. I mean, a lot of injuries. You can't blame, you know, you play with what you have. I mean, that's the classic line. But when you lose an all-pro linebacker like Matt Milano, that hurts. But, you know, it wasn't the defense's fault. I mean, the defense was still great for the most part. They came up with two big takeaways when it mattered.
Epinesa looked awesome out there.
Epinesa, yeah, absolutely. Just the offense was stagnant at the start. And, you know, I'm going to throw out all those excuses like the travel, the jet lag, you know, the refs I thought were terrible, but they were terrible both ways. I mean, just a terrible product for those people in London to watch all those flags thrown on the field. It was just, oh man, terrible game. It just seemed like even though we had those two takeaways on defense, that nothing was going the Bills' way. When the Jaguars got a bad penalty, okay, sure, we'll take it. But when the Bills got a bad penalty, it was like we stopped them on third down, automatic first down. It was like, come on. It just, I'm not going to blame the refs. The refs didn't lose us the game, but they didn't help us by any means. And the offense just took too long to get going. I blame McDermott, I think, overall, because not just the travel, but just like getting his team ready in general. They just didn't have it. They should have left earlier in the week, in my opinion, but What are you going to do? I mean, I this team is still going to be really good. The Jaguars are a really good team. I mean, I think them staying in London 2 weeks really helped them. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying they're a really good team. And don't I mean, the spread was like 5.5 or whatever, so
they didn't cover.
It wasn't super close, but it was, you know, within a score, I guess. So I think the Jaguars are a good team, and we knew that coming into the year, and I think this is a big win for them. And I think the Bills will be fine. Obviously, the defense is going to be in rough shape without Milano and Trey White. So
I mean, the defense will have a field day on Sunday, let me tell you that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Jerry? Briefly.
Briefly, you know, I'll give you my rebuttal there, good sir. I mean, you know, honestly, overall, that game was sloppy. Like, to reference soccer, like, that, it was in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and that game was very Harry Kane Spursy-like. I mean, both offenses, like, looked bad. Like, first off, both offenses looked bad. Buffalo's offense just looked stagnant until, like, about 5 minutes left in the game. Jacksonville's offense, they kept driving and driving and driving down the field, but they couldn't get that score. They couldn't get that score to, like, put the game away, honestly. They had the two turnovers deep in Buffalo territory. Then, of course, like you said, the refs just throwing flag after flag after flag after flag. And I'm just like, why is this a thing? I honestly got annoyed as a neutral just trying to enjoy a game of football on a Sunday morning. But I will say that the travel, like, not necessarily an excuse. It's more along the lines of stupidity. And the only reason why I say that is because, like, if you leave on Friday for a game on Sunday, then, like, not only are you going, like, you're leaving Buffalo, New York Friday. Thursday night. But the thing is, though, is, like, you have to change time zones. You're going 5 hours ahead to London. It's already Friday if you left Friday, Thursday night, it's already Friday morning over there. You lost 5 hours. You got to get to the hotel. You got to check in. You have to do your walkthroughs and you have to do your practices and your walkthroughs and everything. You can't do that in 2 to 3 days, honestly. So that is definitely on the coaching, like, aspect of it. I think that did not prepare the team well enough for the game. And so I will say the travel is not an excuse. It's more a thing of stupidity. But the good thing is that, you know, London happens once every 5 to 7 years. So you won't have to deal with that for quite some time anytime soon. Unless, of course, they decide to send the Bills to Germany or down to Mexico at some point within a season or two. But, I mean, like I said, overall, sloppy game. Jacksonville was the better team. Both offenses sucked. The Bills' defense, like, in this recent, like, stretch down the road here will be fine. Just based on, like, who they have next and who they have after that. But, I mean, speaking of who they have next, my team is ass once again.
Shocker.
Shocker. You know, talk about one. We go from my ass hockey team to my ass football team. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we are, it's bad. I'm going to go see a fucking massacre on Sunday night, probably. We're without Daniel Jones, most likely. He hasn't practiced 2 days in a row. Saquon has been limited. The entire starting offensive line outside of Evan Neal has not practiced all week. And our
Waller hurt.
Uh-huh.
Waller's hurt too, isn't he?
Waller practiced today.
Oh, okay.
But he does have a groin issue. So, like, we're practically going in with, like, scrubs off the streets of New York or New Jersey, whichever you want to go with there, into Highmark there. And honestly, I'm looking forward to, like, seeing the game in person. I know it's going to be bad. It's just a matter of, like, when I decide to, like, say, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. You think you're going to leave early?
Depends on how bad the game gets.
Yeah.
I mean,
the spread is 14 or something, isn't it?
The Bills opened up as 15.5-point favorites, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Yeah, they opened up as 15.5-point favorites. I mean, it's probably still, like, around the same, honestly. So, like I said, this week the Bills should not be worried. I mean, as a Giants fan, I know we're going to get murdered. I know we're going to get killed. I actually thought about selling the tickets, but then I'm like, you know what? I spent too much money on them, and I honestly didn't want to take a loss on anything. Plus, I mean, I already had put in for to be off on Monday too. So, but yeah. Any thoughts on the Giants other than like we're gonna get our asses kicked?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not gonna be pretty for the Giants. I think the Bills are in the collar rush. The Giants are also in their collar rush throwback, whatever they want to call it.
It's
a fun jersey matchup.
It's a combo of the two, actually. Like, it's okay. The color rush jerseys, but like the helmets like go back to the 80s and 90s. It's just a different shade of blue.
Okay, yeah.
It'll be
a fun jersey matchup at the very least.
At the very least, yeah. The vibes for me will be immaculate. Like as soon as I enter the stadium. But then, like, after, like, opening kickoff, unless we win the opening kickoff and want the ball first, even then, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to be numb.
Yeah, I heard they're supposed to be giving out, like, wristbands or something for a light show before the game, so you'll have to give me a wristband after the game.
They're going to do, like, what the Jets did week one. So the wristbands are going to be for, like, some sort of light show. The only stupid thing about that is, like, they're not doing what the Jets did, where they handed them out to everyone at the gate. They're putting them on the seats, like, in the stadium. That is so asinine. Like, imagine, like, going to your seat and trying to look for your wristband, and, like, the guy next to you has, like, five wristbands, like, on his wrist already. Yeah. I'd fucking lose it, honestly.
You should fight the guy. If that happens to you, fight him.
I'm not fighting anybody. They're all fucking...
Come on.
No, I'm not trying to spend a night in county, especially Erie County.
But yeah, I'm not really worried for the Bills this matchup. Long term, obviously, the injuries are going to... They really hinder our Super Bowl chances, and that's really what matters. I think the Bills will still be in the mix all year, and you know, hopefully those guys can come back healthy maybe this year. That's wishful thinking, but... it doesn't look good, so...
More maybe next year?
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Maybe next year. Yeah. Going around the league, I mean, like, we talked about how my team is ass there, but, like, are we really the worst team in the NFL, or do you have another team in mind that's, like, worse than us somehow?
I think the Giants are in the conversation, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, no, we're bad, but, like, are we the worst team? Like, are we 32 of 32? No.
I think another team in the conversation, we talked about them last week, New England Patriots. I mean, they are
ass.
I mean, this is great. We love to see it. We love to see the dynasty collapse as Giants and Bills fans. I mean, this is great. Mac Jones is not him. Ramondre Stevenson, terrible fantasy draft pick, whoever would have taken him. I mean, just an absolute...
Yeah, that guy has Ramondre Stevenson is 4-1 and has a better record than the fantasy football commissioner in his league. And Ramondre Stevenson is putting up more points than Jahmyr Gibbs, okay?
Than who?
Gibbs.
Well, Gibbs missed last week. Gibbs has been fine.
Yeah, but Gibbs is, like, running back, like, 2.5 compared to Montgomery. But go on.
Fair. Anyway, yeah, I think the Patriots are in the conversation. Who else is bad? The Cardinals are frisky.
The Panthers suck. They haven't won a game,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I picked the Lions as my survivor team. I've never felt more confident. I think I was more nervous. I picked the Seahawks a couple weeks ago against the Panthers in my survivor pool, and I was more nervous when Andy Dalton came in to be their quarterback than Bryce Young. And actually, it's funny because I went to TJ Maxx midday Sunday, and for whatever reason, this kid – at the Boulevard Mall, or near the Boulevard Mall, had a Bryce Young jersey on. This kid was probably like 9 or 10 years old, and I was behind them in line, and the mom was like, yeah, they lost, but I don't think it was the quarterback's fault. And I'm like, yeah, it is. This guy is not it. I mean, they don't have a good team, but it starts with Bryce Young. I mean, this guy...
You're going to blame a rookie in the league. Yeah. And you're going to call out some poor 9-year-old kid wearing a Bryce Young jersey saying he doesn't know any better. Oh, my God, you're terrible.
No, the Panthers suck. They're definitely in the conversation. I'd say the Patriots or the Panthers, the P's, those P's teams. You got to look out for them.
Yeah, those P's teams, they're taking a pee-pee throughout the league, and they are poo-poo. You know, somebody once said it must be nice that they live rent free in my head, but you know, I will say this: if I was in college, I know somebody that would be avoiding me if the Patriots were this bad. If we were
in
college,
did you wish him a happy birthday this week?
Honestly, I'm going to be totally honest with you. And now that, like, we're recording this, I never knew the exact date of his birthday until, like, when it came, honestly. Because the thing is, though, is, like, we would never celebrate the birthday on the day itself. It would always be, like, the weekend before. Like, so, like, when I found, like, when I saw on Instagram, like, oh, shit, it's his birthday. And the only way I knew, now I actually know when his birthday is, because it's also John Lennon's birthday. It was also John Lennon's birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But,
John Lennon, the Patriots fan.
John Lennon lived in New York City and probably didn't give a shit about American football. He was on Monday Night Football one time, though, in the 70s. He actually did an interview with Howard Cosell back in 1974, fun fact. But, yeah, no, the Patriots...
Was that fun?
Huh?
No,
the Patriots are totally ass, honestly. I mean, Mac Jones, terrible quarterback. I mean, you know, Bill Belichick, honestly, may get fired at some point this season. I saw a video that a clip from WFAN. Boomer Esiason brought it up that, like, from a Giants standpoint, if Caleb Williams, like, was available and the Giants, like, get the number one pick, like, obviously they would take him. But then, like, would the Giants, like, take Bill Belichick on as a coach if they, if the Patriots let him go? And my thought process is, like, no, he's too old. I don't want his outdated style of football. I mean, if it was, like, 7 years ago, if Bill Belichick left the Patriots, like, 7 years ago, I would say, fine, take him on as our defensive coordinator for, like, 3 years because, like, our defense wasn't good at the time. But now the man, I really think the game has gone by him, honestly. But remember, I was once told that the Lombardi Trophy should be called the Belichick Trophy. Shohei Ohtani was a bust. Remember that.
Yeah,
I'm honestly terrible. I'm going to hell. I know it. I really don't care. So we know who's ass. Who can save their season?
The Bengals. I mean, we talked about them a little bit last week. The Bengals are coming around. I just had this thought. It sounds a little wild. I've had a couple Rocky Mountain Kool-Aids in me. What about the Raiders? I mean, I don't know if the AFC is as talented as we thought. Justin Herbert for the Chargers, he's kind of banged up. Who knows? And then they have Austin Ekeler who's banged up. Can the Raiders sneak in? They just beat the Packers. Packers aren't that good either, but I think Josh Jacobs is coming back. Davante Adams.
Who do Raiders got? He's
overcoming an injury.
Who do the Raiders have this week? Is it their bye?
That is a grand question. I am not sure.
Is it their bye? Because I know the Chargers have the Cowboys this week, Monday Night Football. So, like, that's a game the Chargers probably could lose. I can see, obviously, the Cowboys would look to bounce back after that manhandling they got on Sunday Night Football. But, like, if the Raiders win this week and the Chargers lose, like, I mean, like, I think, like, the conversation would be, like, Raiders could potentially take one of those wild card spots because, like you said, the AFC is not as talented as we thought it is. I mean, look at the AFC North. We thought it'd be Baltimore and Cincinnati. I could have been a Steelers fan. They're top of the table, right? They're top of the table in the division
right
now.
Could have been a Steelers fan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bad loss by the Ravens, honestly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, if they keep throwing away games like that, they could probably, like, find themselves out of playoff contention.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and, like, the Browns, like, they're another team that kind of had, like, playoff hopes. Their defense is there, but Deshaun Watson cleared to play, said, nah, let me rest up.
Yeah, let me rest up.
Play this week either.
No, he's not playing this week. I mean, the Browns weren't going to do much for me anyways, honestly. Like, I thought going in, the only way that they would actually have a chance is that they, like, Deshaun Watson went back to, like, 2020 Deshaun Watson, like, before COVID. But that was a long shot, honestly. I'm with you on the Bengals saving their season. I mean, the Burrow-Chase connection is back up and running. I mean, you know, Jamar, 7-11, always open Chase. Finally got it going against the Cardinals. Now it's just a matter of whether or not they can actually keep that going. I'm with you on the Raiders too. I mean, They kind of did get away with a win against the Packers Monday night, but hey, you know what? Take them as you can get. Take them as you can get there for sure. And then from an NFC side, I mean, Falcons, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking the Falcons. I was literally about to say that. I mean, Desmond Ritter.
The tight ends are back.
The tight ends are back.
Kyle Pitts is back.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith, tight end one.
Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith. I mean, like, the Saints don't look
better. No. Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts.
Tight end one, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Saints don't look that good right now. I mean, like, how long can the Bucs keep up what they're doing in the South? I mean, they're coming off a bye this week, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, probably the Falcons, the only team in the NFC that I'm thinking about. If the Vikings would have beaten the Chiefs, I would have said maybe. But no, Kirk Cousins is getting traded before the deadline. He's going to ask for a trade and say, get me the fuck out of here.
I don't know if he's going to ask for a trade, but now that Justin Jefferson's on IR and he could miss more than 4 games is what I'm hearing. I could see them moving on. Just punt this season away, get a high pick. Kirk Cousins is a free agent anyway. I think that's the grand opportunity for Minnesota.
That's honestly why I think they should trade him too, because why lose him for nothing? Like when you can trade him to a team that needs a quarterback. Oh, by the way, another team that I think that could save their season if they get Kirk Cousins. Not to sound like the homers at ESPN here, but I mean, if the Jets get Kirk Cousins, maybe they can get things cooking on offense a little bit, sneak into a wild card spot.
Yeah, I just don't think the Jets have the. First off, I don't know if they have the cap space. And do they have the draft capital to pull it off?
They don't have the cap space. They only have like $6 million in cap. And the only reason
that's why I don't think it can work.
The only reason why I know they have $6 million in cap space is because Lael Collins visited both the Giants and the Jets back to back days this week. Giants only have $4 million in cap space. Jets only have $6 million. I mean, we would like if either of those teams were to sign him, it would have to be back end deals with a lot of money on the back end for next year or a 1 year like prove it deal. But the thing is though, a prove it deal in the NFL is not like a prove it deal in hockey or MLB. A prove it deal would be way more than what they have going for them there, for sure.
I don't even think it would be – they would have to extend him. Like, I think this would be, like, a classic baseball or hockey rental trade that you, like, never see in football. Like, I don't think – let's say the Jets or the Giants or, I don't know, some other mystery third team gets in a running for Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't see him re-signing anywhere. Why would you spend up on him? I mean, he might sign somewhere, but he's going to compete for a starting job if he leaves Minnesota, wherever he goes.
Kirk Cousins, honestly, we'll see what happens there for sure, especially with Justin Jefferson out. But, I mean, you know, maybe we should finally get into some fantasy football talk in our league, get into a recap there, good sir. I mean, but yeah, no, going into some fantasy talk there, I mean, you know, another week in the league goes by. We both won last week. Big weeks for us. This big week's coming up for us. I mean, you know, I'm 4-1. You're 2-3. You know, you're bouncing back, like you said. I've got a big matchup this week. You've got a – who are you playing again this week? I don't even know, honestly.
I'm in the game of the week against Riley. Come on.
Oh, that's right. You put yourself in game of the week.
Don't you watch the rankings?
I did watch the rankings. I did not skip the end, though, like you said to.
Yeah, that's not worth anyone's time to watch.
No, hey. You know, somebody told me that they loved it. I won't say who, but they also said that I had some nice sunglasses. I won't say who again, though. But
someone also called you a national treasure.
Yeah, I did see that, like, hours later because I didn't see. I saw it, like, when I was at work, and I feel bad. So, Oliver, thank you for that comment. You know, hopefully we have a good matchup this week. Truth be told, I have no idea what Mahomes is doing tonight. I saw that he threw a pick, and it wasn't even like a throw. It just was heaved up in the air for like 10 yards, and it just landed in the arms of a Denver defender. So I'm like, it's going to be that type of game. I really have
you
not
started him?
Huh?
You started him?
I mean, the Broncos are ass. I would much rather start. I know the Panthers like are ass as well, but like Denver's defense is worse than like the Panthers defense, honestly, in my opinion.
Ooh, Mahomes. What does he got? He's got 15 points.
That's not too bad. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's serviceable.
So far. That's serviceable. What's Russell Wilson got? Last I saw, he had a negative 2.3.
I don't know. Is my dad starting
him? Your dad is starting him. That's why I asked.
All right. Una segunda. He has negative 1.7 points.
Frank, the roster management. Oh my god! Like I said, all I've done is be his number one fan, and this is what is going to be his downfall. That's why I won't. That's why I will not acknowledge him as my tribal chief or head of the table just yet. Like, nah, I'm not doing it. But honestly, like I don't know. We're in the middle of the season. I found out, like, literally just today that my work was doing a fantasy football league. But, I mean, I just found out today, and obviously we're, like, week six in the season. I wish I would have known about it, but I think they like, talked about it, like, before, like, return to the office happened. So that's unfortunate there. I would have loved to have joined that.
Jared joining more fantasy leagues?
Well, that because, like, you know, I didn't know that, like, my coworkers, like, are into that type of stuff. I mean, like, I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and they showed me their fantasy lineup, and they're like, I got, like, three guys that are questionable and doubtful, and, like, Mike Williams is on IR. And I'm like, you know you can drop Mike Williams because, like, he's tore his ACL, right? And they're like, you know, I do know that, but, like, I never have a chance to, like, look at the waiver claim. And I'm like, yeah, the waivers, like, are just for scrubs. The waivers just have scrubs anyway. So, like, we were talking fantasy there for a little bit there. But, no, I mean, like, I would have joined it. I overheard some people, like, talking about maybe doing a fantasy basketball league. But I'm like, I refuse to, like, actually give a shit about the NBA until the playoffs. So that's a no for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
You think your team's going to get the dub this week?
Well, based off my predictions, I don't think we'll get the dub this week. I'm 2-0 picking against my team. Actually, I should say I'm 0-2 with my picks when picking against my team. So, yeah, I'm picking against my team this week. Hopefully that's a little bulletin board material for the squad. And, you know, it's worked the last 2 weeks, so that's the goal. Off to a good start. I got the Chiefs defense, so that's good.
That's good there. You know that means you need Josh Allen to, like, lay an egg against the Giants then, right?
Yeah, you know, hopefully I think the plan is James Cook is going to run for 3 touchdowns in the first half, and they'll take Josh Allen out midway through the third quarter,
and he'll
only have, like, 20 points, so that's the plan. Only have,
20 points, that's the plan. Yeah, yep. Maybe he'll have negative five, which will boost your chances even higher.
Well, I'd rather have the Bills win than my fantasy team, so I hope he doesn't have -5. Unless the Bills win and he has -5, then it's okay. But
if he has -5 fantasy points and the Bills somehow win, I'm fired. I want everybody on the Giants fired Monday morning.
Yeah.
That would be terrible. But enough football talk. I mean, you know, it's a long season, both in real football and in our fantasy league. Like I said, you know, I wish the rankings would get more engagement. I'm starting to be with you there. That's why I haven't said anything the last couple of weeks. That's why I really haven't made much comments there. But we've got our things to talk about here. I mean, last Saturday, Beeline pay-per-view, Fastlane for the WWE. I mean, I thought it was good. Some shocks in there. I'll let you take the reins. This is WWE is your thing, man.
Do you remember what you finished with for your score? I mean, it's okay. I did terrible.
I did terrible too. I think I had 44 points.
I think not to like purposely put myself ahead of you, but I think I had 48. I mean, just terrible. I missed like the first two matches. I was watching with Abby, and a shout out to Abby. She had the first two matches right, and I like the first match was the Judgment Day match, and Judgment Day versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso, and she picked Rhodes and Uso to win, and I almost chuckled when I heard that. And then when they won, like, she would not let it go.
I mean, I don't blame her for not letting it go, yeah. Then. I will say that, like, that one just, like, threw everything off for me after that, because, like, I thought the storyline was going to be have the Judgment Day hold all the titles until, like, Survivor Series, and then even beyond Survivor Series into WrestleMania, like, next April. I did not expect, like, them to start having Cody Rhodes go on these side quests with Jey Uso, which throws everything off, kind of. I mean, it allows them to go on the SmackDown, like, go between Raw and SmackDown. So, like, if it is going to be to finish the storyline, then he's closer to Roman, obviously. But, like, I thought, like, what they were going to do was have Jey Uso go to Raw, have Cody go to SmackDown and go from there. That would have been the logical thing to do.
They've really... Well, when Jey came over, the backstage guy, Adam Pearce, said, like, yeah, there's been a trade and there'll be a Raw superstar going to SmackDown at some point. And they just totally ignored that story point or whatever. And I think it was supposed to be Cody, obviously, going to SmackDown. And yeah, like you said, now that they're tag champs, that Cody can go in between shows. But, like, that hasn't stopped them in the past. Like, look at NXT this past week. They put anybody on any show. It doesn't matter. Like,
no, it doesn't. I mean, The Undertaker came... Champion. The Undertaker came back, I mean, like, for the final, like, 5 minutes, for crying out loud. I mean, all of that was just to beat AEW in the ratings, but still. Right. I mean, you didn't need LA Knight as a guest referee against in a match between Ilya Dragunov and Dominic Mysterio, who comes from the Raw brand himself. I mean, come on now. But
yeah, I mean, the whole brand split is, it doesn't exist anyway, so, like, there's no point in putting it on Cody, in my opinion. I feel bad for all the legit tag teams that are competing for screen time and, like, don't have anything to go for. Like, there's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, for instance, because they're kind of a team. They're stuck as a team right now at the moment, even though they're solo stars in their own right. But, like, Pretty Deadly, the Viking Raiders, DIY. There's a ton of tag teams.
Street Profits, The New Day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many tag teams that have nothing to... you know, strive for right now, because now Cody Rhodes, a single star, and Jey Uso, another single star, are tag champs, and that's what bothers me the most about it. And I don't know, I just hope they don't hold it long. I'm really tired of those two.
It's all getting repetitive at this point. I mean, like I said, from a Fastlane perspective, that just threw everything off for me there. I mean, and at that point, like, it's probably just going to lead up to what's going to happen in Survivor Series, where it looks like that they're going to bring War Games back.
So, I mean, hopefully.
Yeah,
it's better than the 5-on-5 tag team match or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, so I think what the War Games is probably going to be is the Bloodline and the Judgment Day. So, Roman, Jimmy, Solo, Finn, Damian, and Dom against Cena, Cody, Jey, LA Knight, and then probably Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But, like, I don't know. I would much rather have, like, you know, just Sami Zayn alone, and then, like, you know, just for me being a selfish asshole here, have Randy Orton return at Survivor Series, because it's rumored that he's supposedly going to return. And that can just be, like, another... like, you don't need to insert Randy Orton into the rivalry, per se, but, it's like
a one-off.
Just a one-off. Like, Cena calls a friend, like Ray called Carlito back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, like, that would be... And it would be a huge ratings booster, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the thing is, though, is, like, I don't know, losers disband their faction. But I doubt that that'll happen too. Like, but I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed Fastlane. It's a B level premium live event. I'm still stuck on calling them pay per views, even though they haven't been pay per views for years now. But I mean, the card wasn't terrible. Some very entertaining matches. I really wish that Seth would have actually lost to Shinsuke. just so like we can have a new champion, and also like I feel like Shinsuke like was deserved of a title, because like, I mean, looking at what he did like when he came on early on into WWE, and also like what he did in Japan, like he's very well respected, and I think he's worthy of the belt. Also, if Zeff's back problems are as bad as they say they are, take a medical leave of absence, my guy. Like, you've done a lot in this year alone for the brand and for the company. Like, just go rest, honestly. But, I mean, that's, like, where I stand, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of Seth and Shin, like, I don't know. Like, I kind of disagree with you about Shin. I think this is the best Shinsuke we've seen since he's been on the main roster, let's say. I mean, he had some good work in NXT, but I just don't think, to me, for sure, he doesn't. But speaking as a whole, I don't think he knows how to connect the best with, like, American crowds and American, you know, not, I don't want to say culture, but just he doesn't connect with the American audience as well. He can't speak English very well, and I think that's a major deterrent for a world champion. If you can't speak English, like, that's, I don't know, it's just hurting your ability to market yourself as a true champion in WWE. So, and I think Seth's the backstory, it was a good story, you know, talking about the back and everything, but I don't think it's obviously, I mean, it probably, he does have something wrong with his back, but it's probably not as serious as what they're saying. They're just kind of making it into a story, which that's fair. It was a nice story.
It was a nice story, yes.
It added some legitness to it, which was nice. And their match was killer, in my opinion.
Oh, I enjoyed it a lot.
I haven't been a big fan of Last Man Standing matches, because it's just like, you knock a guy out for 10 seconds, you watch the ref count to 9, like, 3 different times, and that's 9 seconds of doing nothing. It's like, come on, this is getting repetitive or whatever. But, you know, they did a great job, you know, just adding some new twists and some good spots.
The weapons coming out early definitely helped a lot. I will say, though, them not hiding the mattress pad, big old mattress padding, whatever you want to call that, not hiding it at all was like, you know what, we know that we're going to go here and they're going to do something, but like, we don't give a fuck as to like when it happens type of thing. I had a laugh at that for sure. But
I like the nunchucks too. Like, if Shinsuke used real nunchucks, like, he's breaking Seth's leg, but they were probably just like padded nunchucks. I don't know.
That was good there for sure. And then the table in the corner, it didn't break the first time, but then obviously like it broke when he put Zeff through it there, obviously there, and you know, goes under the table and everything. But no, I enjoyed that match a lot, honestly.
Me too.
I don't know. I will say, like I said, we talked about last week, like, the popularity of WWE is higher than it has been in years, just based on the talent, the booking of matches, the storylines, and just, like, the overall marketing of the superstars. Like,
to me, it's the fresh creative. We're not stuck with
Vince.
I mean, Vince was a genius in his own right, but he was out of touch with what the mainstream, you know, wrestling fans want nowadays. And Triple H has given us a lot more interest in watching Raw even every Monday. Like, under Vince, Raw, it was insulting to watch just some of the things. But, you know, Triple H has done a great job putting, like, really good matches on, like, Gunther versus Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, he's keeping big match. Like, we talked about Fastlane, it was a short, smaller card, B level pay per view or whatever. But they're keeping big matches on like free TV on Mondays now, and it's great.
And that hasn't happened in a long time.
That's increasing the viewers.
And that hasn't happened in a long time. Honestly, yeah. I want to say the last time I remember like big matches being on there. Like, again, personally, 15 years ago, like when we were kids, like when we were like 10, 11, 12 years old, stuff like that. But, no, I mean, I, you know, like because of everything that's happening, like, I'm thoroughly enjoying, like, watching it again. And I'll admit, like, I watched NXT. Like, I didn't even watch most of Bedard's debut, honestly. I wanted to watch that, but because of what was happening on NXT, like, I wanted to watch it. So, like, I wanted to see, like, what they would do there. So I was one of the 930,000 people that tuned in on Tuesday night. Shout out to the people at Nielsen who do the ratings review and everything there. But no, like I said, the state of WWE as a whole is good. Probably the best it's been in years. And the only thing I will say is that don't move Raw off of Mondays. If they move Raw off of Mondays, they're going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, it's going to be weird if it's off Mondays, for sure. I guess it won't really matter in the long run. We'll still watch or, like, you know, tune in, see what happens. But to me, it's not really going to matter.
No,
it'll just be weird. It's not the original night. I don't know. It's going to be very weird.
No, yeah. Like, okay, you put it on Tuesday, it's not that weird. But, like, if you do, like, Wednesday or Thursday and then have SmackDown on Friday still, like, it's like, oh, you have back-to-back. Like, that's definitely going to take some getting used to, for sure. But, like, I don't know. The nostalgia is just, like, don't do that. But, yeah, that's, like, where I stand there for... That's, like, where I stand there for that. Any other comments for you, good sir?
No, looking forward to Crown Jewel next pay-per-view. So, it'll be a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to watch that. That's on my mom's birthday, unfortunately. That's on my mom's birthday. I don't think my mom would like that I spend, like, three or four hours in front of the TV on a Saturday afternoon.
Did you see, maybe it's time to change gears here, did you see Bryce Harper just got hurt?
I did see that. I'm watching that right now. Not ideal.
That's not good.
That is not good. Yeah, let's get into baseball. What kind of idiot picks the Orioles and Dodgers to go to the World Series?
Couldn't be me either.
Honestly, I'm gonna be completely transparent with you. I have thought that the postseason has sucked, but, like, it has reeled me in just because, like, you know, during the week, like, outside of hockey now, there really isn't much to watch. But the wild card, like we said last week, the wild card series sucked. Three out of the four division series are now over. Another one could potentially end tonight. I mean, the Phillies are winning in the eighth inning. You have two 100-win teams, like, knocked down the division series. Another 100-win team is on the verge of elimination. So that's, like, why the postseason is still reeling me in, because, like, it's almost as if the regular season doesn't matter because at that point there, and I'm not trying to sound like a homer off of Twitter, but it's like it's that anything can happen type of thing. But like I said, I have not been a fan just because, like, the baseball, like, on the field, like, it hasn't been attractive, honestly. The offenses have been like stagnant. They haven't been productive. The pitching kind of sucks. The umpires have been blowing calls left and right throughout games as well too. I think I saw last night the ump in the home plate ump in the Astros Twins game had 12 or 13 incorrect calls for strikes or something like that, including one that impacted the Twins with the tying runner on base that ended the inning or even ended the game, if I remember correctly. But I mean, what are your thoughts on the postseason? How do you stand?
I'm kind of with you, and I'm kind of disagreeing on a couple things. Like, overall, like you said, the wild card was not terrible, but it was boring, like all the sweeps or whatever. Surprised that the Orioles and Dodgers are out as the Broncos score a touchdown in garbage time here against the Chiefs. But, you know, it's still nice. We're getting some fresh matchups here, which is good. Back to, like, the quality of the game, like, there's a lot, like, the pitching, there's so many walks and strikeouts. It's just, it's not an appealing thing to watch. And that's just the state of the game in general. Like,
I agree with you there.
Like, The Broncos got one for the two, and they got the two-point conversion. Sorry to go back to football. I got the Chiefs defense tonight, so that's not ideal. But, it's not great for the viewers. You don't see too many teams, you know, just laying down a bunt. I mean, not that that's the most exciting thing either, but these teams, they rely on the long ball a little too much, and when it's boom or bust, and it's all bust, it's not a good product to watch. And, you know, thankfully, this Braves and Philly series has been a little better. Game two was phenomenal. That's been the game of the postseason so far.
That was electric.
I wish these guys could play seven. I know the Phillies are – I don't want to jinx anything, but they're looking to clinch here in game four.
Again, like last year.
And I wish they could play seven. As much as I dislike the Dodgers, I would have liked to seen the Dodgers play either of these teams in seven games. But with that being said, I'm also really happy for the Diamondbacks, because not that they're one of my favorite teams, but I like them. You know, they haven't had the most success as a franchise the last 20 years since they won a World Series. So it's good for them. It's a nice fresh team in there. Texas and Houston, I'm not really rooting for. I'm rooting for the Rangers over the Astros by all means, but I think whoever comes out of the National League, I'll be rooting for in the World Series. So, we'll see what happens in the championship series. Hopefully, it'll be better for the television, for the audience to watch. I guess we need some more moments.
We need moments, exactly. We haven't had moments. I mean, there have been moments in the Braves Phillies series that we've talked about here, but like there hasn't been moments anywhere else. Any moment that gets talked about in another series, like, is most likely because the ump fucked up a call, or somebody walked somebody for no reason or whatever, and it's just like, why are you doing that? Or a pitcher got taken out too early in the game.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. Yes, I agree.
But, I mean, the thing is there is, like you said, it's the state of the game currently. And the thing is, though, is, like, you can say, people can say, oh, it's the pitch clock, it's the pitching overall, it's the offense. I don't think the pitch clock is having an impact like a lot of people want to think it does. I really just think that offense is now, like you said, it's long ball or bust at this point. And because of that, like, they just forgot about contact hitting, getting on base, like, just good old-fashioned base. I don't want to sound like a homer here, but I'm going to. Like, and I mean a homer from, like, you know, old-school baseball. But, like, the state of the game sucks because of the long ball or bust type of attitude. Like, you know, contact, getting on base, just getting those hits. Like, getting hits repeatedly. Like, the game has lost its luster a little bit, and it's showing in the postseason. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, we need more moments. Hopefully, the League Championship Series is bring some more electrifying moments. Texas and Houston, they beat up on each other all season, so hopefully that's a good series and goes the distance. I'm with you on there. I'm rooting for Texas in that one. It is nice to see the Diamondbacks. Obviously, you know, like me being a Yankees fan, like, all right, 2001, blah, blah, blah. I was only fucking four. But it's their first time in the NLCS since 2007. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember them making the 2007 NLCS. I know Colorado won the NLCS and got swept by the Red Sox.
I don't remember that series at all. Diamondbacks, Rockies, NLCS.
I don't remember. I don't even, like I said, I remember
that World Series, but not that NLCS.
I don't know. NLCS, I don't remember. I don't remember. Like, unfortunately, I remember the ALCS. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we both do. I digress, but I'm just saying, like, I remember that more than the other one. When Costas said that last night, I'm like, are you fucking serious? The Diamondbacks actually made another championship series before this year? I was perplexed.
That's another thing. How is Bob Costas still calling games? I could not stand listening to him call the Cleveland Yankees series last year. He's so old. Can we please get some younger guys calling the game in a different way?
I don't want to say age is a thing. I think it's just because, like, he's always been monotone like that. I mean, like listening to like Kit, like watching old highlights of him calling postseason games back in the 90s, he did the exact same thing. He's always been monotone like that. I don't know like why Costas is calling the games like the past couple postseasons for TBS. I know Don Orsillo used to with Ron Darling. Like, what did TBS just say, Don, we don't need you anymore? Like, Bob Costas is available. I get that. Okay, it's Bob Costas, but like, you gotta look for somebody that like can have the call for the moment. Like BA, Brian Anderson for this Philly series has been great. I love BA as a commentator. Even Fox and FS1 with Adam Amin and Joe Davis. I mean, they, Adam Amin, like, I'll admit, like, it's taking some getting used to for me just as an overall commentator. Just because, like, I'm not used to him and I don't really, like, listen to, like, him call games. But Joe Davis, I mean, like, baseball's his sport. I don't want to go off the beaten path here, but, like, I prefer him as a baseball commentator than a football commentator. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you on there. I love Costas, but, like, I think it's time that they find some fresh blood for the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that Guardians walk-off win against the Yankees a million times when Oscar Gonzalez had that hit. Last year,
when the city of Cleveland prematurely celebrated a series win, I remember.
Besides the point, it bothers me listening to Costas call it so monotone, and the game is over, or whatever he says.
It's it goes back to like him. Like I said, he did that back in the '90s too. I mean, like, he did that back in the '90s too. I mean, you know, like. I think it was like 96, again, before, this was before we were born, 96, the Jeffrey Mayer game, between the Yankees and Orioles in the ALCS, game one, like, he just calls Jeter's home run, and then he just, like, and Tarasco interjects with a fan, and he's so monotone, and then Bernie Williams wins the game, and he's like, it is mighty high, it is mighty far, and good night, or something like that, but, like, it was so monotone even back then. But again, like I said, I'm with you there. I feel you there for sure. But other than that, I mean, I guess, like, you know, short pod compared to like the last couple weeks, I don't really have anything else on my mind. What about you, good sir?
No, I think that's just about it. It's nice to keep it a little briefer this time. We're working on it still.
I mean, next week we'll probably just as brief, honestly. Maybe not fantasy talk next week unless some major things happen in the league, but.
Yeah, I agree. We'll figure it out as we go along.
But yeah, no, another episode gone here, folks. Until next week, just keep on keeping on.